Okay, so here we are, part two of this incredible conversation from Pooch Cove. And Ty, you want to tee up the second part of the conversation?
Yeah, you know, if you listen to the last episode where we really kind of went through quotes and things that inspired us as artists, artist quotes, and just wisdom from those around us as well that really inspire our making on a regular basis, we kind of move into, well, we kind of go back to a question that was asked earlier in part one about the artist ego. I think it was Gianna asked the question to everybody, your light side and your dark side and embracing the artist ego. And then Moksha said, you know, I think you got to kind of embrace both. And then we ended up in part two going pretty deep into that and talking about that. And then we also go into my two quotes that I introduced from Laurie Anderson and Madeline L'Engle. And we kind of go in and discuss those. And then we jump around and talk about the residency and what we're doing and what an artist residency looks like and how our time has been there. And then I think it creates even more great conversation that we are having every night at the dinner table or for coffee in the afternoon and things. So again, you're here in spirit. We have a cup of coffee just sitting there for you, empty at the table. Come on down. I got a bed for you in my room so you can come stay for the weekend.
Well, listen, it'd be at a spot like that, I'd have my AeroPress. I mean, I am a coffee dork, so I'd have my AeroPress for my little espresso shots. All right. Well, hey, listen, let's dive in and listen to it, and then we'll share our two cents at the end.
Yeah, let's go. Yeah, I want to jump into the ego part real quick. And I'm going to take this away from the art and put it on the artist, he or she. And I think you have to have an ego in the art world as an artist. And I'm not saying like a cocky machismo that, you know, struts around like Andy with his crew in 1970s New York with the whole factory behind him on the street type of bravado. But you need to have a little something. Even if you have to put the Superman suit, like we've talked about before, you have to put the costume on when you go to the opening. And sometimes for some of us that are very introverted, we kind of have to escape ourselves into that ego in the room. And I'm not saying perform. I'm not saying be braggadocious, but you've got to have that chest out and be confident in your work for the curators and for the museum directors and for the gallery directors to say, I really want to work with this artist. And there's a lot of things that kind of come into that fold. It's not just that. That also means take really good care of your work. Stretch your work really well. Make sure it doesn't fall off the wall when you put it together. Be confident in your work, but also be really organized. Keep spreadsheets of your work. Have your statements prepared before all the other artists. There's a bit of ego on that in being more prepared than everybody else on the gallery. I cannot tell you how many times I have seen a gallery director or curator go, Ty, thank you for being so organized. Because they're still waiting weeks later for other artists' information, scale, sizing, materials, descriptions of work, artist statements. And I know you all, I don't have to worry about any of you because you went through my class. And so I pound that in. But that is a bit of ego, though. I am confident enough in myself to take care of the things that need to be taken care of so that I'm always prepared. And like today, not everybody up here wanted to be up here talking today. That's normal for an artist, but we have to practice talking about our work so that we're confident in a situation where people are watching and we can actually spend an hour and 100 plus slides. Allison at her recent University Museum show in New Mexico, she gave an hour presentation, 100 plus slides, right? I mean, what was that like for you? Because I know that's not your favorite thing to do.
No, it's not my favorite thing. It took a lot of preparation, so in order to do that. But I think also just to be an artist, to say you're going to be an artist and make art, you have to have kind of an enormous ego, you know? And I feel like we have that, but we're also, I mean, for me at least, I have that, but I'm also battling this insecurity. You know, it's like these two things. Some days I feel great and really confident, and other days I'm like, you know, what the hell am I doing? And why am I doing this? But I feel like that's, you know, for most artists that I know, it seems to be the case.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to put yourself out, haven't you? And you've got to have confidence in yourself as an artist and what you're doing in the process. It's a funny thing because I think in a way, because of the nature of art and being an artist, in a certain way, the more authentic and even vulnerable you show yourself to be, but willing to be out there with that vulnerability and authenticity, the better it goes. You know, it's not like, for me, you need to have an ego that's kind of armored up and you know, getting out there and stuff. It's quite a different sort of world that we're talking about, and that's probably why we're all artists, because that's actually the way we want to operate. That's the way we want to be. It kind of ties into my quote, but I'll maybe let it run for a bit more.
Well, I'll say one thing, but I think with the healthy ego and that confidence, there's discipline involved. Like there's a commitment to the bigger goal ahead, and understanding like this is not just like a futile practice. This is something that's going to pay off way down the road. And I firmly believe this is another, I can't remember who I heard this from, but it's another like mantra, like nugget of wisdom that has like really kept me grounded, is how you do one thing is how you do everything. And I find that bleeds into so many different areas of life, both in the artist practice and just, you know, discipline in general. And my background as an athlete, you know, having competed at high levels and having to put my body through a lot to be able to perform well, like you need to practice. You need to be disciplined in certain areas that you're very attuned to and aware to. And I find that I've been able to apply a lot of those habits and mental frameworks of discipline into my artist practice. And like, okay, I'm in the studio right now, or I'm practicing, or like I'm at practice. What am I doing right now to prepare, so then I can be ready for the big day, for whatever it is, you know, my next goal, and then to keep working from that. But I definitely firmly believe like how you do one thing is how you do everything. And I think as artists, we don't, you know, sometimes I see this with like a lot of emerging artists and art, you know, like people just kind of getting started out. It's like they're doing it for fun or like a hobby, or not really sure of the reason or the why and like what really truly drives them. And I think we all start to understand and tap into that and develop, you know, we go through life and we start to see more and more of why we do what we do. And that drives a lot of our purpose. But I think you have to do a lot of work and be really aware of your motivations. And that will drive each of your habits. How you do one thing is how you do everything.
Absolutely. And I'm going to bring Audrey into this with a question for her, because I think this feeds into that great, the conversation we're having around this, because you had a really big shift in work, and the first piece you had a really big shift in, you entered into a group show, mm-hmm. got into the group show, and then they used it for the actual poster for the show. And not long after that, you also had a studio tour. And we talked through those nerves and that anxiousness and those things of new work and people coming to see new work. Talk to us a little bit about that, and then just kind of share what happened as well.
Well, I think the shift that happened with my work was while I was going through mm-hmm. your mentorship. And you really, really taught me how to make work that resonates with me. And because at first, like Gianna was saying, like when we start, we just want to make beautiful things. And like, I was like, you know, as a hobby. And then I got more serious about it, but still what was, I think, too much concern about the result. And then with you, I really got into making work that was more meaningful, letting my unconscious make the work at some point, and really trying new things all the time and new materials, and just kept trying, and then finding what was moving me the most. And then I think that spoke to people. And then when I did my studio tour, my open studio, it was really interesting because, like you said, some people are like, that doesn't speak to me. They're like, that's fine. And I like, because we talked about it, I was like, and I think Jerry Saltz also says it, and like a bad critic, it's like, or in a press field says it, I don't know. When you get a bad like comment, it means you did something. Like, yeah. I mean, it
did something.
It did something to her to be able to say, I don't like it. I'm like, that's great. And then of course, other people went, came, and I was able to talk about my work, and I was able, and I sold a bunch of things. So that was like cherry on the top of the thing. But it was a very incredible experience. And I think it gave me some confidence and to keep moving and keep working. And for the ego thing, like, we can talk about it furthermore, because there's so much to say about that. I think being an artist is, for me, is the courage to be really seen and really deeply seen. And when you lean into that, I think it's really speaking to people. But it's not that easy sometimes. It's insecurity. It's like vulnerability. And then you're happy to be seen. And then you don't want to be seen. Or, I don't know. It's hard. It's hard.
Yes.
I think there's like an inner conflict. Sometimes you want to be seen. And then you feel like you don't want to.
Right. Oh, yeah.
It's so interesting. And yeah.
When I think in all that, the key to maintaining that confidence is having a network of artists around you.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, when we all know we've had moments where we've done it alone, and some of us may kind of be doing it more alone than others up here. And that when we have that other little just foundation of artists behind us, whether they're in Spain or in Montreal or whether in the Netherlands, and you can hop on Zoom with them or visit them at the pub or the cafe or wherever in your town and just sit and talk about. We usually talk about our losses more than our wins most times, because in art, you're going to have a whole lot more no's and losses than you do wins.
Mm-hmm.
But the ability to sit and talk about the wins, I just sold a painting.
Mm-hmm.
I just got commissioned for an installation. I just got into a residency. Like, those are massive, what they do for your confidence, but what they also do for the other artists around you's confidence too, because they know where you're at. And that's, I mean, I think that helps our ego, that helps our confidence. Having the ability to talk to other artists about our stuff too is just so massive of encouraging.
Maybe it's something that everyone here experiences, I'm not sure. But when one of your artists that you talk with a lot, or one that you admire, maybe not admire, when you talk with a lot, you feel peers with, has a massive win, my instincts, and I'll just say it, is like, at first I'm a little jealous. I'm like, oh man, I wish I would have gotten that, right? But I found, and I was literally just talking to another artist about this today, that I get more energy by giving them excitement back, by saying, I am excited for you. You worked your butt off to get that. And while I'm saying those words, my mind, like out loud, my mind shift does shift to that, because they get excited. So there's like, I don't know, I'm saying this out loud because I feel like there's a lot of, you can sit in that anger, you can sit in that resentment, you can sit in all that, but it's not going to do you any good. But the better thing to do is to connect further and say, I'm so excited for you, right? Like, put your own ego down in that moment and just watch what happens. It's incredible.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. It's really interesting. And it's a kind of like, there's a moment when you can decide. You can go one way or the other.
Yeah.
And it's like just making it a habit of going with appreciation, you know, congratulations, being generous in response. And it's much better for oneself, isn't it? Much, much better. And it just keeps connection, opens things up. But it's an interesting experience, because, you know, as artists, we're kind of all on our own. And at the same time, we're really connected. And things do touch upon us, you know, what happens to other artists and stuff. It's a really, really quite intense practice in some ways, being an artist, isn't it, in that sense? You know, in a kind of ethical level and sort of.
I relate to that, Jacqueline, because I think we can all say it too. Like, I experienced a little moment of jealousy today with one of my artist friends who, you know, had this big win, and I was like, oh, that'd be cool. But then I had to take a step back. Mark said, just like you said, it's a choice. I was like, okay, but I'm right here right now. I made a choice in my mind. I had to stop myself and remind myself where I am at right now at this residency. I'm living out a dream that I had for years. That's a huge win. And just to realize and like take inventory of like what's actually going on in your own life, and to celebrate yourself for a second, that's something that we don't do. Just like the small things, but like you just said, it's a choice. But it's really important for us to have that really solid, again, like the sense of self to know ourselves and to look back on things and say, oh, me 3 years ago, or me 10 years ago, or, you know, me as a child, wouldn't she or he be so proud of me? Like, the competition isn't between each other as an artist. Like we said, like, this is our network and our community and our family. Competition is ourselves. So
I want to jump into jealousy real quick, and then we're going to go to Moksa for his quote that jealousy is the artist's worst friend. Yeah. It is the destruction of the artist is jealousy. You look through history and jealous artists end up in very bad places or take their own lives or end up in severe depression or addiction. And gosh, just thinking of how much, you know, is the pressure greater today than it was in the 20s in Paris or in New York? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. It's probably the same, but the ability to be jealous quicker sure is here right now. Because you used to have to hike to the salon or hop in a horse and carriage and head down to the salon with your pals. And then you walk in and go, oh, what? He got in the show and I didn't, right? And then they have to take the carriage all the way back. So maybe they had more time to sit with their jealousy after their friend gets the show. I don't know. But today, it's so easy to sit there for an hour in the studio on Instagram and go, F them, you know, yeah. Seriously, yeah. Oh, what? And then what do? You don't make work. Yeah. Then all of a sudden you're curled up in a ball watching Netflix on the couch, drinking a glass of wine, you know, and listen, we've all been there in one way or the other. Somebody gets the show over you. Somebody's work gets placed in the better location, even though you don't feel like it's stronger than yours. You get put by the bathroom or the bar where everybody stands and nobody looks at. We've all been there. And then we walk around the room instead of enjoying our accomplishment and that new line on our CV, we walk around the room giving the finger to every other piece that's in a better location than us. So, but then what do? Instead of celebrating, we go home and we're down and we can't stop thinking about it. And then we have to find a way to crawl out of our hole. So just for everybody listening, you know, take time not scrolling and comparing and being jealous. Like, celebrate your accomplishments. And even if you haven't had a show yet or anything, don't forecast your jealousy. Just get in the studio and work harder in the little amounts of times or the greater amount of time you have to make work. And like everybody set up that's up here, be bold. Get your work out there. Ask questions. Find people to help you. I mean, I can't tell you how many people I have sent emails to. Julian Schnabel, you get them from me every 3 or 4 months for the last 5 or 6 years, you know, like asking, please mentor me. How do you balance film and art? How do you do it? Can I just get 15 minutes every month of your time? 10 minutes. Be bold. Apply for shows. Find ways. Hey, I don't have $45 to apply to your show. Would you still let me apply anyways? They might say yes, because who asks that question? Mm-hmm. Nobody. We all pay the $45. Just a hint. Well, at least 340 people or something like that. Anyways, Allison, did you want to add something?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was just going to add to that, you know, when you're supportive of other artists, you know, I'm in a group of like 4 artists in my studio building, and we've all been, you know, we're all applying to things, people are getting into different things, but, you know, we're all really supportive of each other. And I think it just creates more and more positive energy. And it just feels like then we're just like, we're just like on a roll.
Well, no, I was just going to say, and it maybe ties into quite a bit, and this is, you know, maybe a bit idealistic, but to do with the jealousy thing and stuff, I sometimes reflect on, well, you know, I'm supposedly an artist. So I've given myself to art. So kind of like the spirit of art, to put it like that. So when I can contact that, it doesn't matter if it's me or somebody else that is getting the art out and into a show. It's the fact that art is getting out. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
So it's
yeah. I mean, I'm completely insignificant as an artist in the overall thing, but I doing my bit to keep the flame alive or something like that, you know, without getting overly romantic, but it's that kind of thing. So yeah, my quote is from Agnes Martin, who, as you know, is definitely a, you know, hero of mine. Her dedication to her way of understanding art and her artistic process, creative process. Lots I could say about that, but it's the quote is actually to do with her commitment to a way of life that supported her artistic endeavors. So the quote is, "The artist tries to live in a way that will make greater awareness of the sublimity of reality possible." Her artistic process, she says elsewhere, my interest is, she says elsewhere, sorry. She's she says elsewhere that her interest is in experience that is wordless and silent, and the fact that that experience can be expressed in art that is wordless and silent. So she is definitely, you know, she's a great admirer of Rothko as well, and definitely trying to express through her art a transcendental reality, if you like, or a deeper reality. But not only, you know, trying to express it through her artwork, well, to do that, you know, being very honest about the need to actually dwell in that kind of awareness to be able to then express it through art. So, again, it's the artist tries to live in a way that will make greater awareness of the sublimity of reality possible. So I guess it's to do with how being an artist is more than just maybe in the studio making art. It's actually a whole way of life.
A way of being, yes.
A way of being and a way of living. And yeah, I mean, that, to be honest, is what really, really interests me about it. Mm-hmm. Well, and what we're trying to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Being an Agnes Martin fan as well, a Martinite, you know, she, and having seen a lot of her work from her early work to her later work and seeing that development, and also knowing her story, if you haven't read Ninth Street Women, I encourage everybody out there to read it. It's one of the greatest pieces of chronological history ever written about female artists. And you look at the artists that she came up with in the same little area with Grace Hartigan and Elaine de Kooning and Helen Frankenthaler, Joan Mitchell, Lee Krasner, in New York at the time, right? Busy, loud, a complete opposite of who Agnes evolved into. Loud, busy, crazy. They're always at Club Car and all these places over beer, and you have Pollock and you have Rothko and you have all these other artists around. Clifford Still, everybody from the New York Art School that was there learning together and developing this entire new spectrum of thought, which is expressionism through abstract work. And some are quiet and listening. Some are loud and boxing, you know, Pollock throwing over tables and guys getting in arguments, and, you know, Joan with her bravada and Lee owning the whole table in her own, you know. And so, but then you have Agnes, who's, I can only imagine, having seen interviews and watched her, just taking it all in and going back and thinking and going back, and then eventually retreats to New Mexico. Hmm. And really lives out the rest of her life in solitude, in her studio, working these things out through herself and her work in silence.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that her, I'm asking because I don't know enough about her, her retreat had a lot to do with sort of like having a lot of conflict with the way that things were moving? You think it was just always in her to be that way? Or do we know why she decided to take that retreat outward?
Well, I know that I don't really... Okay. You know, who knows? But and when she did first go to New Mexico, she actually spent 5 or 6 years without doing any artwork. Mm-hmm. You know, so there was a lot more going on. You know, she felt that need to retreat and to withdraw, and and I know that she's, you know, what she's written and the document, what she's talked about, is that incredible process that she went through, where she had to just be in a space where she could go deeper into her own awareness, mm-hmm. and a sense that it was her own awareness, mind, consciousness that was what she wanted to get to, a place of purity in that from which she could create. So I imagine a very meditative kind of lifestyle. Yeah, and just the need to be in that kind of space. And maybe it was being in New York and surrounded all by all that. she began to kind of get a sense of who she was as an artist. You know, then, you know, with all those other stuff going on, and just the courage, you know, to recognize who she was an artist and to do what she needed to do in order to be true to herself as an artist. And it's pretty extreme in her case, you know, and I just, yeah, definitely have her there myself as an exemplar of what's needed in some way, you know, whether it's redrawing or whether it's being in New York right in the midst of it, but doing what we need to do.
Just to add to that, I totally agree with that. As you know, they say, oh, make the work. I think we all need to not be afraid to have a dry spell and recognize if you're not being productive, that doesn't mean you're not doing what you need to be doing.
Right.
You can't always be producing. Just like these residencies, it's not necessary, it's process, but even a dry spell where you don't want to do the work, then something else is necessary for your being and hear what your body's telling you in your mind. Don't feel that you're some kind of production machine, you know, and that's what she took the time and proved that for her, that was her salvation. So everybody needs those dry spells, get away from it all, and don't feel guilty. You don't have to explain it to anybody. It goes back to nothing's logical. You don't have to explain it. But if you're not feeling it, you're not feeling it. And don't let it do you in. You know, it's just part of the, it's for me, some of it feels like a game sometimes. And but you're going to win. And you keep saying, I'm going to win. I'll get to the end. But I'm this not in a good place right now. Okay, move on. So anybody want to add to that?
But. Yeah, right.
I resonate with that just coming from New York and now being here, the complete opposite. Like I it's only been not even a week yet being here in a completely juxtaposing environment from Manhattan. And I feel like my spirit is finally settling and I only know what the next 3 weeks are going to I don't even know what the next 3 weeks are going to be like and what I'm going to see and feel and experience. As you were speaking that quote, it's just like that it hit me so deeply. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's what I feel like I'm going through right now. So that's it's going to be really interesting. Thank you for sharing that.
Hold your thoughts because we're jumping into residency next.
All right.
I'm going to jump into us being here doing an artist in residence together because I'm sure there's a lot of listeners who are curious about residencies. I know I was when I was a young artist and just starting out, what the heck is this residency thing? What's it about? And like I said before, we're all here for a month at the Pooch Cove Foundation that is a part of the James Baird Gallery that we're sitting in right now in one of the gallery rooms. And for a month, we'll all be here researching, making, creating, hiking, spending time in nature, et cetera. So my quote leads into this conversation. And so I'm going to read my quote. And then we'll take some time for each of us just kind of, I'll open up questions just about how you feel so far in our first week away from life and here in the residency. How are your thoughts different? How are, you know, your processes changing? What has the scenery done for you? I'll kind of prompt a little bit. Here's my quote that I think really kind of encompasses probably what we've been feeling. I tried to find one that really fit. And this is by probably my favorite author of all time, Madeleine L'Engle. And she says, when we are writing or painting or composing, we are, during the time of creativity, freed from the normal restrictions and open to a wider world where colors are brighter, sounds are clearer, and people more wondrously complex than we normally realize. I'm going to say it one more time. When we are writing or painting or sculpting or composing, we are, during that time of creativity, freed from normal restrictions and open to a wider world where colors are brighter, sounds are clearer, and people are more wondrously complex than we normally realize. That is Madeleine L'Engle. And so I really thought that quote fit well because when you think about really being freed from normal restrictions in your studio, we are even more freed being away from the other everyday life restrictions that could creep into the studio at home, how has your time been mentally, physically, thinking through where you might go with your work since you have gotten here to Pooch Cove? How has nature, the landscape, the new space, the people already been speaking or influencing you?
I don't really know, because I'm sort of still in it in a way. I think there's different aspects, you know, there's just the studio space. So I've got a much bigger studio space than I'm used to. And, you know, as you know, I'm trying to do what for me is a massive painting. But being in this environment, so being somewhere that's just more isolated, wilder, the ocean, the walks we've had, just feeds my soul, feeds into my soul. But a big part is being with all you guys, you know, and what we've got going between us. You know, I think I've fallen in love with all of you, even Ty. No, you know what I mean? I was thinking, it's like, wow, this is just amazing, you know. And I mean, we hardly know each other in a way, and some of us, you know, and yet, anyway, so that's all going on, feeding in some way, you know. And at the same time, for me, there's a kind of growing perspective on my life back home, because I'm away and I'm away for a month, and that's really valuable, really, really valuable. And to feel to feel the connection with my loved ones, with my friends. I feel like I've been here already a month.
Yeah.
But
I'll second that. It's kind of like we became an instant family. And it sounds kind of corny, but that's how I feel it. Yeah. I've done other residencies and I come away with the same feeling. And I think it's because everything is so pure here. We don't have the other distractions. We can share about our personal lives, but the connections happen very genuinely, I think, here, because we're all setting ourselves up for who knows what. We went into this with, well, we'll see, it's the grand adventure. We're all in together, and it's just that whole family feeling, if you believe in family. And I think family is the main connection that we all need to see globally. And, you know, if more people were like this, let me not get like, oh, kumbaya and all that. But I truly believe like these are the things that keep me going, the connections I make with the people. As far as the work, I can just say something really magical is happening with me, because for a while I was all about straight lines. So now I'm doing all these curvy lines. So I know something's bubbling, and I'm so excited already. And it's probably that water. But it's also the feeling I have and the vibe. I hate that, but that you're all giving me. So I just want to thank you all.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about you guys, but I cried when I saw the ocean and went and like kind of just felt it, you know, if that makes sense. Like sat there and really took it in. And like water is a huge component for me to experience something outside myself. It makes me feel so small, and it inspires me and humbles me, and there's something so incredible about it. And it's interesting, I'm like feeling emotional talking about it right now. And as I alluded to a little bit earlier, coming from New York, you know, you don't get that same feeling, especially with these crazy powerful waves crashing up onto these rocks. It's like you don't go in that water. You can't, like, there's a respect and a reverence there. And I think that's something, it has now just kind of hit me. And I think that's going to continue to really sink a lot deeper, like, throughout these next few months, just like this humbling, because I, in a way, I feel like I've accumulated some extra layers of armor and protection. Not just in my move to New York, which was very recent, but just over the last few years, like all these layers that I've told myself I've needed, or thought I've needed, whatever, out of fear, really. And now I feel like I'm starting to let a lot of that go. And I can already experience it and feel it. And I had this moment in the studio earlier where something had, like earlier today, where something had finally kind of clicked. Like they're like a little puzzle piece just kind of like fit. It was like an answer, like multiple answers to questions that I've had over the last like 2 months, especially that I could not access, especially being in the city. I moved to the city thinking like, oh, I'm going to, you know, really expand and there's going to be all this, you know, learning, growing. Don't get me wrong. It has been really moving and really needed. And I've grown a lot, but something I thought would give me the answers has not done that for me. And being here, unexpectedly welcoming things that are just so natural and beautiful and pure, mm-hmm. have started to wow me in ways that I couldn't do or cultivate myself. And that I think is going to be extremely pivotal. And again, humbling. Like I know this is just the process of purging some things that I don't need anymore. Mm-hmm. So stay tuned.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's a lot of different things. I mean, the nature, you know, I've been in Philadelphia for a couple of years now, and I haven't really seen nature, like this big wild nature. So I mean, especially the ocean, and I've started to paint with blue, you know, really use color. And then all of a sudden, I woke up yesterday, and I put these big blue things on paper. I'm like, what's that? But also I live in solitude, and, you know, having this community, you know, is just amazing. It's like camp, you know, it's like, I don't know if everyone ever went to overnight camp, but it's like you have these like connections really quickly because you're like living with people and you're eating with them and you're spending a lot of time with them. So it's like, it's magical. Mm-hmm. And as far as like where the work goes, I mean, I feel like years from now, you know, I'll probably start making something and be like, wow, I think that probably came from that time and Pooch Cove, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think it's just going to keep coming.
Like everyone said, the community we immediately created all together, we kind of knew each other almost like by Zoom, but it's not the same through your class. But being together for me is a very important aspect because I don't have that community of artists at home at all. Mm-hmm. I only have it through Instagram and like digital world. So that has been for me like incredible. And we immediately like formed something really like a family, like you said. So, and I think that's going to last. Like, after this. So that's really, really precious. And all you said, like, I think the scenery, the nature, the landscape, the mountains combined with the ocean for me is just overwhelming. Like, I can't even describe what it does to me yet, but it's just in state of awe. Like, all the time we go hiking and just want to do it more and more. And I feel that these feeling I get when we go on the mountains are, I think they're feeding me with inspiration that will go on my work here, but that will go, like you said, Allison, beyond being here. And for me, it's a privilege to be here, not to have to work on my other job and no kids and no other people to take care of or no responsibility. It's, for me, it's really new to experience that. So yeah, I just already don't want to leave this place. I'm
like, it's only day four. Right?
I know, it's only day five.
It's four for me, but I leave at the same time, so it's fine.
So, and but I'm like, oh my God, I don't want this to end ever. When are we coming back?
Yes, but, James, when are we coming back?
Yeah. So, yeah, I have so much gratitude of being here. Like,
amazing. I want to add another thing, and on terms of the community and the family feel, there's like a really lovely sense of safety that I feel. Like I'm able to like experience these emotions and express that what I am, because there is no judgment. There are like no walls between any of us. It's like, it's a really beautifully unique thing. And I'm really grateful for each of you. Like it's very much like family. Like I knew a few of you prior and connected in special ways, but it's It's really, really unique. And this is setting a really high standard. It is like, this is my first residency, and it's setting the bar pretty high. Yeah. So, which I think is a really good thing. So I love all of you.
Well, journaling is a big part of my art practice, and what I know so far about what it's doing for me. Well, I came in, so previously I was journaling a lot about what do I want to get out of my time. And generally it was very, what I was able to come up with before I got here was very functional. I wanted to focus on 2D work and see how to connect my 2D and 3D work together. And then life has a way of just really churning stuff up for you.
Always.
And literally a couple of days before I got here, some terminal illness really rocked my family. And I had to pivot my flights and do a lot of different things. And so as I was arriving here, my brain was just not here yet. But what this place has done and people have done has sort of given me space to express those things, right? I think a lot of you had shared some things that were going on for you before you got here, which gave me permission in a lot of ways to say, okay, we can go deep, which is like my favorite place to be. Mm-hmm. And I was able to share some of these hard things. And it's been, I guess I said it was day 4, it was technically day 5. It probably took me about maybe until like this morning to finally be able to put down a lot of what that was so I could sort of, you know, unconsciously process it while I'm making work. Mm-hmm. And it's a very strange place to be in, I guess I should say, to feel like I want to be open to everything, but to have to, I don't know, compartmentalize things at the same time in some ways. You all have been so wonderful about all of that, and I appreciate it. You even let me cry at coffee the other day, so thank you.
This is the awesome thing also about a self-directed residency. And what a self-directed residency is, exactly what those words are, is you direct yourself in whatever way, shape, or form you want to while you're at the residency. And so there are plenty of residencies that are very focused. They could be research focused, they could be sculpture focused, they could be a certain form of painting focused, but this is self-directed for this month. We get to kind of do what we want to do. If you just want to research, you do research. If you just want to work on sketching, you can work on sketching. One of the previous artists from Argentina who works in light was going back to some old forms of paintings he had done years ago just to see how those two could reflect when he returned home. And so coming here, I had stuff packed. I ordered things I didn't know I ordered. Left things at home I knew I had left at home and sure would have loved to have now to keep my bag weight down. But I also knew that I was going to really take time to listen and pay attention. As one of my quotes down there, my favorite, Laurie Anderson, says, art is about paying attention. Mm-hmm. And so I knew I wanted to just spend an enormous amount of time up front paying attention. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I'm paying attention to. Is it the nature? Is it our hikes? Is it the ocean? Is it the company? Is it what somebody may say while we're having coffee? Is that with my work, most of you know out there, my work's based on memory. And the topography here has all the places I grew up wrapped into one. So in California, from my grandparents in Santa Barbara and Monterey and Big Sur area to my backyard in Forest Hill, California and Tahoe, like all these things, it just seems like each trail I go down, I'm 8 and then I'm 12 and I'm 15, then I'm back to 4. And it's just been really cool to experience the smells, the sights. You know, my dad and I were texting about it earlier. He's like, oh, that looks just like, I was like, you wouldn't believe it. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. It's almost like there are moments where I can come around the corner and hear my grandfather yelling from the beach, you know, those things come back and rush in and that's paying attention, right? Mm-hmm. And how will it reflect in my work? I don't know. I set everything up in my room and I just sit. And just allow all those thoughts. And then I write and write poems and just write those things again. That's what the beauty of art is. If we are paying attention, we will speak to ourselves and something will come out. And that's the beautiful thing about it. So as we wrap up, I just want to let you guys know out there and gals, look at residencies. They're great for you to break out of the monotony of where you are. Go to a new culture or a new city, even if it's in your same country or state, it takes you to a new location that provides new ideas, a new life in your soul for a moment. They range from a week to 3 months to 6 months. Some are funded, some you pay for. The ones that are funded are a lot more competitive than the ones you pay for. but there are plenty of websites. We'll list them later, but Artenda, ResArts, TransArtists.com. There's plenty. Just look up artist residencies online. You'll get a list of multiple residency sites that just list by country. And they're all very detailed. They tell you what they're looking for, how long it is, if there's costs involved. They're really, really self-explanatory. So I would encourage you, if you're a young artist or you're an artist that's looking to break out of where you are, look at a residency, research them, find one, and start applying. Thanks for joining us today. I had a blast. Yeah. I hope you all listening or watching had a great time. And just to remind you, we do have a YouTube page. And on the YouTube page, I will put up B-roll and video of Pooch Cove, where we are as we're talking about it. I'll also put up work from the artists that you see up here so you can see what their work looks like, and pictures from while we've been here at the residency of our studios and things like that. And I can't wait to share Bonnie's work as well, who's watching us from the grandstands. We love you, Bonnie, and we're glad you're here with us. So anyways, thanks for joining us. Nathan and I will be back, I don't know, next week, the week after, I'm not sure. So we've got some other really special interviews with other artists that are joining us. And I think we're going to end up popping into some other museums and recording from a few museums down the road too, like the Clifford Still episode. So have fun and don't forget, just make art. Bye.
Yeah, so I love Mox's perspective around leaning into both. And I think that's a very Jungian sort of embracing the shadow self,
yeah,
you know, approach of not resisting or trying to pretend as though those dark thoughts aren't there. It's acknowledging their existence and then figuring out, you know, what to do with them in a healthy way. So in the context of your discussion, it's not, you know, feeling that pang of jealousy or that pang of that sense of, oh, that could have been me, even that maybe, yeah, that should have been me. It doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't make us bad people. I've experienced it. We all do. It does make you a person, you know, so
yeah,
check that you're, yep, a human being. I think what is really important and what you guys did such a great, just a magnificent job of really breaking down. And I just want to honor everyone's vulnerability and authenticity. I'm not surprised, again, just knowing everybody there a little bit, and some of y'all a lot, but in that context, I wasn't shocked by it, but it was just really cool to hear everyone just admit, like, yep, me too. I've definitely had, yeah, feelings like that. I've had thoughts like that, which again is just yet another, I guess, check in the box of surround yourself with other artists so that you can sort of check your thinking and realize, like, yeah, oh, it's not just me that has, yeah, thoughts. I'm not a bad person. I'm just a person who has,
yep,
very natural reactions to things. But when people and pretty much everyone shared a version of that sort of like self checklist or auditing their own, like, all right, I'm feeling this. What do I do with it? Like that's really the important part. You know, thoughts are just thoughts. Feelings are just feelings. What do I, yeah, what do I do with those? How do I process that and channel it into something else? And I think that feeling of, Jacqueline put this perfectly, channeling it from jealousy to excitement for, you know,
yeah,
I'm happy for, yeah, that person.
Great.
And mm-hmm, depending upon your, you know, belief system, as far as, you know, how that all works. But I believe that when I push something away, oh, must be nice, oh, good for them, right? When I go into, mm-hmm, that sort of negative place,
do we do that? Pushes,
do I what? No.
Do we ever do that?
Oh. sarcasm. You know, I speak, yeah, it sarcasm, so well, but sometimes I still, yeah, don't, so I, yeah, still don't hear it. Yeah, of course, you know.
Yeah.
But that, you know, channeling that into like, okay, yep, I'm going to channel that jealousy and I'm going to convert it into excitement. I'm going to
yeah,
which then, whatever, energetically, I believe, pulls that in versus pushes that away, right?
Right.
When we, yeah, say, oh, must be nice, oh, good for it. I mean, again, just my personal belief system, you know, kind of pushes that away and,
yeah,
and makes us more resistant to creating those opportunities going forward. So just, I think that acknowledgement of, hey, I am feeling this way, and then doing something productive with it, genuinely feeling good, mm-hmm, and,
yeah,
and wishing good things for everybody. You know, Mox, yeah, said something to the effect of, I feel like it's still a win for art. I'm
right,
paraphrasing here, but just.
No, that was a powerful statement. It really was. It was that feeding the lake statement, right? That,
yeah,
we've talked about before. This is good for the betterment of art. Why am I upset? I shouldn't be.
Yeah.
This is good for art's sake. Let's celebrate it. Let's embrace, yeah, it. Yeah. It was beautiful, yeah, beautiful moment.
And I think I'll land my plane on this, and that might be all I have to share. But I had a thought too, and this is around, you know, what we do with it. And I've just observed for myself, and this is kind of back to Gianna from the first part of this conversation around the competitiveness, and framing things within sort of the athletic, you know, context. Again, we're going to receive, we're going to process things how we're going to process them. But if the mentality is, oh, I missed on something, or, hey, I'm frustrated by the fact that I don't have an opportunity that maybe I'd like to have, or think I should have. You mentioned one response is to curl up and watch Netflix on the couch with a glass of wine.
Right.
You know, that's an option.
Yesterday. Oh, wait, hold on.
I have found a lot of success, and I've had a couple of like distinctly memorable breakthroughs when I have taken that. In one case, it was a very specific criticism that, and you'll know what I'm talking about. And I just said, F it. And I mean, had a couple of, you know, I don't even know, 15-hour sessions back to back to back to back, and had a massive breakthrough with the work. Cause I was like, you know what? Screw this. Like that, I'm going to put my foot down and I'm going to do never again will I ... which led to something, you know, really meaningful and impactful in the work itself. So the point is we get to choose what we do with those thoughts, with those feelings. Yep. And I believe that while I would personally prefer to be motivated by love-based, you know, emotions to be working, you know, towards something, it's also okay to be pushed by things as well, right? I mean, we're going to be pulled towards or pushed by, and it's okay for me anyway. I'm just gonna, can only speak for myself, but to get some juice out of you know, running, you know, from something, you know, as well.
Well, and there's a quote that I didn't share in the panel that I wanted to, but I didn't want to take another 20 minutes because I think it would have led to a big discussion. But it goes into everything that you're saying, and it's by a renowned, I believe she's a child psychologist, Mary Natalie Tabak, writer, child psychology. And she says, life is discovery or it is nothing. Life is adventure or it's jail. What do you choose?
Yeah.
Which one are you going to choose? You're either living a life of discovery or living a life of nothing, just sitting there stagnant and stale.
Yeah.
Life is adventure or it's jail. Because if you're not going for it, you're not running for the adventure and the new things and learning and fighting through the moments where you want to sit on the couch and drink wine and watch Netflix, like you're just going to be in jail. All those thoughts, all those emotions, all those things inside, they're just going to be behind bars. And you're just going to be peeking out and peeking through the bars. And I just exploded. Celebration. That'll be great. For all the YouTube viewers, please laugh at that. It just happened.
Listen, there's no better way to respond to being behind bars than with fireworks. I mean,
I got to figure out how to turn those things off of my phone. So, maybe my nephew, Tyler, send me a text message and tell me how to turn that off my phone. Cause I'm old now.
Well, listen, we've broken this down more than needed. The conversation stood fine on its own. We just wanted to throw kind of our, a little bit of commentary and 2 cents on it. Amazing conversation. We're going to do more of this. The rest of season 2 and beyond. In fact, I'm going to be recording an episode. I won't spoil it now, but a good artist friend of ours, when I'm back down in Dallas on a shoot down there, we're going to catch up and actually do a conversation. We're going to call it not a guest, but a guest co-host is what we're
calling
it.
There you go. I love it.
From a gallery down there as well. So stay tuned for more Just Make Art.
See you on the air or on YouTube. Find us.